Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. You can be louder than that. Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. Much better, much better. We are so grateful and thankful for many things. I don't know if you realize, but that is the theme for today. And we are very grateful to have a lot of talent, a lot of young people who have come to lead the church service. Are we grateful, church, to have the young people lead? Amen. And we just want to thank Di and the team who has got the whole team together. You're also thankful for good knees with that song, going up and down. I'm very thankful for good health. I'm very thankful for lots of things. And it's so interesting, this timing, because I'm very thankful for my wife. I want to thank you all who have sent messages of concern and gratitude as well. My wife did go into surgery on Wednesday. She's come back yesterday. And prior to Maritza going into hospital, we'd always have a little chuckle. I would tell her that I would be more than happy to be a full-time dad and look after the kids at home every single day. Easy job, right? And then my wife graciously went away for a few days and I got that wish. And I want to publicly say in front of everyone, I know you're watching my darling at home on the bed. I take all of that back because you are amazing and what you do is amazing. And the amount of stuff that mums have to go through, wowzers. I really am so grateful for mothers and looking after the children that we have today. Now, I look at the time, and I know it's 5 to 12, and so one of the good things about a children's service is that it's a nice and quick sermon, by the way, just for the kids and for some of the others as well. I know you like the quicker ones. And so today, the sermon is entitled The Power of Perspective. And as that kind of comes up, and make sure that that's all working wirelessly, I want you to think in your mind the things that you are grateful for in your life. Because that's a theme for today. What are some of the things that you are thankful for as we think of all of the things that have happened during our life? Hopefully that will pop up very soon. I want to go through some of the things that have happened the last few months during the 2024 period. And I want to see if you are thankful for any of these things that have happened. Now, I just went on Google and I typed in what are the biggest events that have happened so far in 2024. Now, just a quick vote. Who here thinks that they are really positive stories? Put your hand up. One person. Donnie, well done. You're the positive one. There are no positive stories, so you got it wrong. All right, but that's okay, right? I'll go through them and because we're kind of used to the negative press, right? Now, what do you think the first story is when it comes to 2024? What's the first thing that comes to mind that defines this year? Oh, the Olympics. I missed that one. Oh, well, that's still going on. So let's not count that one, right? What's the biggest thing that's happened so far bar the Olympics? Any wars happening? The number one hit, Israel-Hamas. That's been raging on for quite a long time. In fact, the moment Hamas attacked Israel has responded tenfold, you could say. There's lots of killing, lots of nastiness that's been happening. In fact, in April, and we really have a short-term memory, don't we? Because do you remember in April, Iran actually fired about 300 rockets towards Israel. It's quite scary. And in fact, this is a very moving story because at any moment, we could actually see if that would happen again. We're just not sure. We're on the brink. In fact, we are almost on the brink of World War III. How does that sound, church? Exciting? Positive? Okay. So that one's not a good one. Now, have we got... We don't have anything on the back there. Let's try again and see if it's going to work. If not, that's okay. We can do this without the pictures. Number two. It's another war that came up as the second biggest event. Russia-Ukraine. Oh, there are a lot of wars that are happening at the moment. It's not very good. In fact, I checked. Does anyone want to have a guess to say how many armed conflicts do you think are happening right now? Can anyone have a guess? Because there's more than two. Give me a guess. Shout out one. 50. That was super close, by the way. 57. There are 57 ongoing armed conflicts happening right Now, in fact, according to the UCDP, the number of active armed conflicts in 2024 is the highest ever recorded since systematic data collection began, and that was 40 years ago. Now, you don't really know this because a lot of this gets, you know, no spotlight. Of course, we know about Israel. Of course, we know about Russia and what's going on. But did you know that we are having the most armed conflicts in a very, very long time right now? But you didn't know that. All right, let's move away from the wars for a second. How are we going with the PowerPoint up the front? Give me a thumbs up if you can see it on the back there. It's on me? Don't blame Apple. I can see your face, Ellen. All right, that's okay. We don't need the screen for this one. Natural disasters, how do you think we're going for this one? You think we're doing all right this year? No? We actually are. This is probably the most positive one out of all of them. There have been floods in Afghanistan, cyclones in the US are probably happening right now, I think, and bushfires in Chile, but it's not to the extent the last 3 or 4 years have been, especially in Australia. Do you remember those really big bushfires that we had? Yeah, so we're actually doing okay there. But let's hold our seats here because the next one is the economy. How are we going with the economy right now? You don't want to give me an update? How are we going on the stock market? Pretty bad. Do you know that the family is going to Japan in November? Do you know what happened in Japan? Yeah, a very huge stock market crash. In fact, actually, it kind of works for us because of the currency exchange, but it's not good for them. And I saw an article just this week. Can you see how quickly this story, this sermon, is moving? Because this week I saw that we're on the brink of a recession. I'm not doing very well at bringing in thankfulness and gratitude. Let's try one more. How about mental health? How's that going? Okay, we're not going to get into this one. I've done many sermons on how bad mental health is. But with all of this context, we read in the Bible a specific scripture that tells us to stop focusing on such things. Open your Bibles. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. We've heard this before. It's almost a kick in the face sometimes when we live in a very negative world and then we read Philippians 4 and at the start it says, always be full of joy. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7 starts, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do, and remember the Lord is coming soon, so don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, here's something for you just to have a bit of perspective. Imagine going to Gaza and telling someone to read Philippians 4. How do you think that would be taken in? To say, just smile. Be happy. I know that there are missiles going all over the place and you don't know whether you're going to survive the next day, but be full of joy. Can you see how that verse may not work sometimes? It almost feels like a kick in the face. Don't worry, God's got it under control. I want to share with you a very quick story. And I'm going to read it from here because I don't have the picture on the screen, but that's okay. There was a very wealthy man who was bothered by severe eye pain. He consulted many physicians and was being treated by several. He did not stop consulting a galaxy of medical experts. He consumed heavy loads of drugs and underwent hundreds of injections, but the ache persisted with more vigor than before. At last, a monk, who was supposed to be an expert in treating such patients, was called for by the suffering man. The monk understood his problem and said that for some time, he should concentrate only on green colors and not to let his eyes fall on any other color. It was a strange prescription, but he was desperate and decided to try it. The millionaire got together with a group of painters and purchased barrels of green paint and directed that every object his eye was likely to fall on to be painted green, just as the monk had directed. When the monk came to visit him after a few days, the millionaire's servants ran with buckets of green paint and poured it on him, since he was in a red dress, lest their master see any other color and his eye ache would come back. Hearing this, the monk laughed and said, "If only you had purchased a green pair of glasses, just worth a few dollars, and you could have saved these walls and trees and pots and everything else, and you would have saved a lot of money indeed. You cannot paint the world green." Now, what is the lesson of this story? Well, I know that this wouldn't work for me because I'm colorblind and I can't see red and green properly. So that wouldn't work well for me. But when it comes to this idea of trying to color the world green, the idea is that we try to change the world around us to make ourselves feel happy. And we almost blame what's happening outside there for what's going on inside here. Oh, I'm unhappy because I got the wrong job. I'm unhappy because I don't have the best car. In fact, talking about the best car, I wasn't going to say this, but I will. Some people know that I've changed my car from the BMW to a Toyota Camry. Oh, exciting, right? In fact, that response is exactly what I got from the person I bought the Toyota from. When I went to the dealer, the guy looked at me and said, "Are you an Uber driver?" "No." He goes, "Oh, because Uber drivers buy this car all the time." And I said, "Oh, okay." And so when I went away and I jumped into my new car and I went and filled up my car, and the guy asked me how many Ks is on there, and I said, you know, 1,000 kilometers, whatever else. And he said, "What kind of car have you got?" And I said, "It's a Camry." And he goes, "Oh, cool. That's great." And it kind of like rubbed off on me. I said, I was excited about this car, but now everyone thinks that just because it's a Camry, it's not that exciting at all. And so I'm not really excited about it. In fact, I was like, well, did I purchase the wrong car? Is this the car that a young pastor should not be driving because it's boring? Anyway, I started to complain a lot about my Camry. And you know what I did? In research for the sermon, there is a specific website that you can jump onto, and it's called, and I'll tell you, wid.world/income comparator. And I was going to show you what it looks like on the screen, but I'll tell you. You can put in your income, and you compare your income to the world. Do you think I was shocked? Now, by the way, I'm a pastor. Income isn't that high, although we are looked after. But when I typed in the world comparison between what I earned, I was in the top. Can anyone guess? What percentage do you think? Kevin, my accountant. What was that? Top 2%. Close. Four. I am in the top 4% in the world with my, what I say, measly income in Australia. And that really shocked me. In fact, if you keep reading, if you own a car in Australia, you're in the top 5% automatically. Doesn't matter what income you have. And so you know what I was doing? I was saying, praise the Lord for my Toyota Camry. Right? Because for me, it puts it in perspective that maybe I am not this poor, measly man that I kept talking about and complaining about the things that I have. Because when you compare against the world, do you know what? Your trash is someone else's treasure. Did you know that? If you really want to be humbled by how much you think you don't have a look at what other people have in the world. In fact, when I was comparing with other people, and when you look over the fence and you see what the neighbor has and what's online on social media, and you compare against that, did you know that you're actually breaking a commandment? Did you know that? See, this shocks people, right? As Adventists, what commandment do we like to focus on a lot? What is it? Come on, all. The Sabbath, what number is it? Well done. See, we know that. Now, what commandment am I talking about? Looking over the fence and looking at what other people have. Does anyone know that one? 10. Well done. Do not covet. If we as Adventists followed that principle as strongly as we did the fourth by keeping the Sabbath holy, we would be a very humble and thankful church. And we would be complaining about nothing. There's a reason why that is etched into the 10th commandment to say, do not covet, because it is the poison of thankfulness and gratitude. When you look over the fence and you see what the other person's got, you will always be the loser. Especially when now we don't just have the village that we have, but we have the whole world to compare against. In 5 seconds, you can jump onto Instagram and see what everyone else has in the world, and you compare them with yourself, and you always lose. And so when we're talking about the coveting, let me just read that verse for you. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in your neighbor's possession. Let's translate that to modern times. Does anyone have a donkey or a servant here? Let me just check. No? Good. So the next translation will be this. You shall not compare with your neighbor's house. You shall not compare with your neighbor's spouse. You should not compare to their job or their car or their status, nor anything that is in your neighbor's possession. Church, how are we going with that one, by the way? Yeah? Maybe not too good. See, the problem is not what they have, but it's what we don't have. Because you will never get to the point where you will truly be happy with what you have. If only we could buy some special glasses to put on and to actually see the world in a different light instead of trying to paint our world green. We wouldn't be unhappy with our jobs. We wouldn't be unhappy with our spouses. We wouldn't be unhappy with our possessions. We wouldn't be unhappy with our lives. In fact, in Luke 12, verses 29 to 31, it says this. Don't be concerned about what you eat and what you drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything that you need. Amen? I could finish it there. But when it comes to this idea of changing the way that we see things, when we read something like that, we kind of assume that God, once we stop asking, will give us everything that we want. All right, God, I'll make a deal with you. I'm not going to ask you for a new job or a better partner or all that kind of stuff, but you're going to give it to me when I stop asking. That's what the verse says, right? No. In reality, what that says is that God changes us and not the world around us. And He allows us to actually realize that we have everything that we need right now. Just think about it. Think about everything that you have right now. How many people in the world would want what you have? If I had an apple and I went up to one of you, in fact, I might do that right now, and this may affect. No, we're good. All right. And I come up to you guys. Edna, I'm going to choose you. And I give you an apple. Pretend that's an apple. All right. Or what's your favorite fruit? An apple's good. Okay. I want you to rate out of 10 how excited and happy you are. 1 being, that's horrible. 10, the same as having a child. Where would you put that on 1 to 10? A 5. Okay, that's pretty good. Anyone here would be as happy a 5 out of 10 if I gave you an apple? Yeah, anyone lower? Anyone here hate apples? Green. Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. Yeah, green apples aren't the best. Now, let me just change your perspective just a little bit. Because you gave the right answer, Edna. Because we live in a world that if you open the pantry, how many apples do you think we have at home? Yeah, a few. But if I went to one of the million children who die every single year of starvation, and I offered them an apple, where do you think that would rate on the 1 to 10 scale? 10, 20. Because no longer is it just something that they have in the back, but it is life and death. How long have I been preaching for? It's 12:13. I'd say about 20 minutes so far, right? In that space, with my math, that's 40 children have died already because they didn't have food. Are you starting to see the comparison? Are you starting to see how much that you have and how grateful that we should be with what we have already? We live in a very beautiful and rich country, and we have so much. We need to put on those fresh new pairs of glasses and see a fresh perspective on life. Your terrible job is the dream of the unemployed. Your house is the dream of the homeless. Your smile is the dream of the depressed. Your health is the dream of those who are ill. Don't let difficult times make you forget your blessings. My wife is sitting on her bed right now because she can't move. And she understands the blessing of having legs just to be able to get from one point to another. When you lose something, you realize what you had. But once you have it, you don't understand how good it is to have it right now. And so I want to just affirm that not only do we have so much, but that is because of God's blessings. I promised you a short sermon, so I'll get to the end. I've used this before in a sermon, but the story of Fanny Crosby really gets to my heart. She was the author of the hymn Blessed Assurance. Do you know that song? Beautiful song. Very positive, by the way. And she was born blind. And this conversation happened. On one occasion, a well-known clergyman said to her, "I think it is a great pity that the Master, when he showered so many gifts upon you, did not give you sight." Her instantaneous reply was, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition to my Creator, it would have been that I should have been born blind?" And the minister asked, "Why?" And Miss Crosby said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that I shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." Whew. If given the opportunity, Fanny would not ask for sight because she found it as a gift rather than a curse. Where if we in that position would be able to say, "Yeah, I would choose sight because it was a disability." But for her, she was able to change the attitude, put on those glasses of perspective and say, "No, thank you, Lord, because the first thing that I get to see is your face." In our family worship that we have at home, we do a little activity, which is we ask what you're grateful for. And Maritza and I, when we have to talk, we talk about the boring things. I'm grateful for a house, and I'm grateful for, you know, a car, or I'm grateful for a job, whatever else. But when it gets to the kids, do you know what they're grateful for? Lucas is grateful for his little teddy. Naomi is grateful for some of the toys that she has in her playroom. And they're just so small and inconsequential, and you just go, "What about the roof that's on your head? Why can't you see how great that is?" No, the little things, the small things. And the kids remind me of some of those innocent things to be grateful for. In fact, there was an Olympian. I was going to talk about the Olympics. And her name was Arissa True. Do you guys know the story? She was the youngest Olympian for Australia. She was 14 years old. And she won the skateboarding contest, which was great. But what really caught my eye for this one is what she said in her interview after she had won gold, by the way, on the national stage. Look at this. She said, "My parents definitely wouldn't let me get a dog or a cat because we are traveling so much right now, but I feel like a duck. It might be a bit easier. So, you know, I just want a duck." She just won gold, and all of the cameras are watching her. And she doesn't ask for, you know, some of the things that we would ask for, you know, a car, or we'll pay the mortgage on the house or whatever else. She just wanted a duck. And she's 14. See, that innocence of that joy of things that just bring her pleasure and happiness. I think maybe she knows that the small things are what brings her joy. And so when we talk about some of the things that we're grateful for today, I ran through those events in history for the year, the wars and the famines and the economy and all that stuff that's happening around the world. Can you find any positivity in any of those stories? Can anyone give me a bit of a change of perspective on the wars and the economy and the world imploding on itself? Can anyone give me a positive? Let's do a practice. Thank you, Leonard. Did everyone hear that? They are signs that Jesus is coming again soon. Amen? So when we look at all of these things that are happening in the world, yes, they are sad. Yes, it's sad to see people die from these things. And you can feel those emotions, but you can always say, praise the Lord, for you are coming soon. There is always something to be grateful for. And I didn't want to finish the sermon without mentioning a miracle that's in the church today. She doesn't know I'm going to mention this, and you don't have to get up, April. But a lot of the things that happened in the last week have been quite scary. And there have been... Look, ask her about what's gone on, because I don't want to take away that story from you, April. But just seeing you here, after all the photos that I've seen, is a miracle in itself. And it could have been a very different story if a certain weapon had cut a different way. But she is here today and she's a miracle. And she has her life changed. Everything's going to be different. But you are here, and I praise the Lord that you are here, because I think God was protecting you then. And I think all of us, when we really look at our lives, we can see God moving. Sometimes we complain because we feel like we don't have it all, and I get that. But there will be a day in heaven we will replay all of the tapes of our lives. We will go through every single interaction that we did not understand that God and His angels were protecting us from whatever that was. And you know what we did? We just continued living our lives and complaining about God. And He kept blessing us. And so today, church family, I want you to practice the power of perspective and to put on those glasses and to see the world through God's eyes. Yes, the world is falling apart. Yes, there are things that are really hard, and I'm not taking away the fact that there are hard things that we go through with health, economy, relationships. They all happen, but God is still there. And God loves you and wants to do what is good for you in your life. And so, see the blessings, take a breath, have a look around, and know that you have been blessed considerably. There are many things we can be thankful and have gratitude for. God bless you all.